A preacher walked up to the front door of a country home on an overcast spring day in 1968 and proceeded to knock. He was greeted at the door by a large, rugged man in his mid-20s who answered, "What do you want?" And as he grumbled at him, upon seeing the man in the suit standing on the front porch, he quickly followed it up with, "Whatever you're selling, I'm not interested," and attempted to close the door. The door stopped short as the small preacher stuck his foot in front of the jamb and replied, "Sir, I'm not here to sell you something. I am here to give you something." The large man turned and looked at the little preacher, now clearly interested. "Okay, what do you have to give me?" he replied. And as he asked this, the preacher handed him a box. Let's see if I can lift this up without opening it. Hey, thank you so much. And he handed him a box. The preacher said, "I'm here to give you this box." And the man opened the box, and inside he found a Bible. The preacher proceeded to invite the man and his family to the special service they were having at the local country church. The man attended that service and proceeded to make that country church his home church. His wife and children, they saw the difference that a relationship with God began to have on this man. And they got interested. And they continued to attend church with him, and God began to change their lives. The man's sister saw the difference in the man and his wife and his children. And she became interested in what had happened to them. And she decided, "I'm going to go seek out a relationship with God for myself." Every time the doors of the house of God opened, whether it was a youth rally or a Sunday service, a Wednesday Bible study, spring cleaning, a child dedication, a prayer meeting, whenever the doors were open, the man and his family could always be found in their little country church. It got so predictable that on more than one occasion, the man returned home from church to find his home burglarized, because it was widely known that no one would be at this man's home at 10:15 on a Sunday morning. That home was always filled with friends and family and friends of family coming over for dinner, a Bible study, and sometimes to live when there was nowhere else to go. The man eventually started a church in another little country town and pastored it until his death. The man didn't have any money, but he left his son the box that he had received from the preacher so long ago. Though when the box was a little bit heavier now. The man's oldest son decided as he was entering adulthood, that he was going to live for God like his daddy. Much like his father, he was in the house of God every single time the doors were open. The son went on to do even more for the kingdom than his father did. He taught Bible studies, taught Sunday school, led the youth, led the worship team, started small groups, cleaned toilets, and worked on the maintenance team at his church. Even more than his father, his son's home was hopping with Bible studies and fellowship, and almost always had someone living in his home that had nowhere else to go. All this continued when God called the man's son to pastor a small church in a big city. The son didn't have any money. But when his son moved out and got married, he gave him the box. The box was almost too heavy to carry now. Out of curiosity, I opened that box that I got from my dad, and what I found inside, this box was worth so much more than money. In that box, I found faithfulness in the house of God that my dad received from his dad. I found a love for the Word of God. In that blessing box, I found an example of how to pray, in my blessing box, I found that it's okay to weep before the Lord. In my blessing box, I learned that my battles are fought on my knees, and they are won in praise by stomping on the devil. In my blessing box. You can throw the title up. I invite you to stand for the reading of the word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and with all of your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." Thank you, God, for your word and the promises that you give us. I thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. I thank you for your love this morning. I ask you to speak through your servant. I ask you to anoint the hearts and the ears of your people to receive your word, that we can leave here differently. In Jesus' name, you can be seated. That pastor lived an example of a relationship with God, and the man saw it. That pastor didn't just go give him a box with a Bible in it, but he continued to add things to that blessing box. Every time he had the man and his family over for dinner, he was adding to the box. He added to it with Bible studies. He added to it a prayer life. He added to it a love for souls. In that box, the preacher added the blessing to teach the man, it's not your car, it's not your home, it's not your wife, and it's not your children, but they're his. And he can do with your stuff whatever he wants. And that knowledge the preacher added to the box. And the man began to live his own life with God, his own relationship with God, and his own walk with God. And when the family had a long weekend and everybody was still tired, but the man walked around and shook everybody awake and said, "We're going to church," he was adding to the box. And when there's illness in the family and the man got on his knees and cried out to God and said, "God, heal my boys. God, touch my wife," he was adding to the box. And when the man would feel lonely and he would feel overwhelmed by the cares of this world, and when he didn't know where the money for rent would come from and where the money to feed 8 children and whomever else was in his home would come from, and he got on his knees and said, "God, I trust you. Your word says you'll provide for me if I'll put you first." He was adding to the box. And so when he handed that box to his son, there was much more in it than simply the Bible that there was in it when he received it. And his son was able to be blessed and say, "God, I know these things already because they were in my blessing box." But he didn't stop there. He said, "I want to add to this box for my children." And so when he didn't have money to heat his home and the fuel truck backed up and dumped it into his tank, and he has no idea where he came from, and he said, "I'm going to praise God because he sent it to me." He was adding to the box. When my brother and I would fight and bicker, and he would take us back to the word and say, "This is wrong. You should not act this way." He was adding to the box. When I didn't want to be a part of the things of God and I didn't want to go to camp and I wanted to just stay around my room and I didn't want to talk to people and my father pushed me and said, "No, you're going to do what's right whether you like it or not." He was adding to the box. It is very important that we add things to our box that we can hand off to our future generations. It's important that we add things to our box because even the person I'm not handing this box off to, there are people around that are watching, that are learning and watching what you're putting into your box. Your family and friends will notice When you add things to your box, they'll notice a difference in your life and they'll say, I want what he has. And you can show them how to start their own box. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. In Galatians 6 and 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Each time you open your home to someone and you see someone who is lonely and you see someone who needs a friend and you say, hey, why don't you come over for dinner to my house? And you invite them into your home and you have the presence of God filling your home. And you allow them to experience that. You're bearing one another's burdens and you're also adding to your box because there are people in your family that are watching you. There are little eyes in your home that are watching what you do and how you respond to the situations that you're in, and you're adding to their box. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. It doesn't mean that just because I give a box to my children that they'll do what God has asked them to do. But it does mean that you are equipping them with the tools to fight battles on their own. You're equipping them with the tools to know how to pray and who they're praying to. You're equipping them with the tools to understand and have the Word of God revealed to them. So that even when they're making decisions and choices that you would not want them to go through, you would not want them to make, they still know what's right. And they know where to come back to because you added to the box. We must teach our children that ministry is the most important thing in my life. And telling others about the matchless love of God that they've never heard of is the most important thing in my life. If your child wanted to be a professional athlete or a fireman or an accountant, we would encourage them and tell them that they could be anything they want to be. When we see our children playing church at home, we should encourage them that they can become a man and woman of God, that they can baptize people in that precious name of Jesus, that they can pray and see the sick healed and the blind eyes open and the deaf ears unstopped, that they can be anything they want to be for God. They can sing about God's love. They can teach about God's love. They can baptize their best friend. And their friends can receive the Holy Ghost playing in the back room. They don't have to be in church to feel the presence of God. They don't have to ask the man of God to pray for them. They can pray to him themselves. We need to show them that showing people the love of God should be the most important thing in their life. And they'll know that if they see it's the most important thing in yours, because you add it to your box. Our children need to see that we trust our God. Our children need to see that I'm willing to sacrifice things for him. I really, really want this. And I could work a lot of overtime to get it. But son, I'm not going to do that because we got to be in church. Son, if I do that, I don't have time to teach Bible studies. When I was younger, me and my brother had our own room, and most of our life we had our own room. And it was awesome. God gave us big houses because he knew if he blessed him with a big house, he'd use it for the kingdom. And generally, when there was someone staying in our house, they stayed, you know, in the finished attic or somewhere else in the house. But once we were in Cleveland and Brandy's mother died, and they say, well, we're gonna take her in. And me and Nick are like, cool, where's she going to stay? Because it's not our room. I have mine and he has his, so where's she going? And they, well, son, you guys have bunk beds. We can stack them right back on top of each other. And you, Nick, you can move into Nate's room. We were like, okay, this, there's some cool aspects to this, but the principle of giving up our rooms is not cool. There's still a little bitterness there, maybe. No, but it was teaching us something that nothing's more important than seeing the love of God and the Word of God installed into people's hearts. And there are five other children that have had that added to their box. And many times, it didn't just affect me and Nick, but it affected Brandy and Glenn. And it was added to her box. And she's able to show her children, hey guys, someone needs a place to stay. There, our home is open. I don't know how long Jeff and Angie lived with you guys, but I know they were there for a little while. But when we make sacrifices for the kingdom, God says, I'm going to honor that. I'm going to honor that. And the little eyes around you see that. But they can only see it if it's really the most important thing in your life. Because if it's not and it's just a show, no one will know quicker than the little eyes that are watching you. No one will know quicker than the family, their brothers and sisters, to say, that's not really them. But it was a good try. We must make it the most important thing in our life. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 says, then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer to say to them, truly I say to you, the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. And he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, in the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer the Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't take care of you? And he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. God has called us to make a difference in the world around us. And we can make a difference in our tithes and offerings and giving, and that does help, and God does say, I will bless you for that. But God didn't ask you to give of your finances to bless the kingdom. He asked you to give of your finances so he can bless you. What he's asked each of us to do is, will you pour your life into the least of these? And if you'll do that, I will give you eternal life. If you give your finances, I'll bless your pocketbook. If you give your whole self to me, I'll give you eternal life. But if you won't give yourself to me, there's an awful place that I've prepared, not for you, but for the devil and his angels. But if you choose to be more like him than like me, you're choosing not to spend eternity with me. We have the option every single day to add something to the box. And God is calling each of us saying, there are people watching you. There are people around you with needs. And I'm asking you to bless them. And I'm asking you to add to the box for them. Let's stand. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Scripture is telling us sometimes you're blessing the least of these, and through that you're blessing me. And sometimes, you're actually entertaining the very presence of God in your home. Sometimes you're giving a ride to God Himself on that bus, Brother James. God said, I want you to open yourself up. Open up your life. I have the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't need your money. What I don't have and I want so very bad is your soul, is your love, is your commitment. For by doing that, some have entertained angels unaware. I'm so thankful that I had not only a father, but a grandfather to start putting things in that box for me. I'm so glad I have a dad that says, son, I want you to do even more for the kingdom than I did. And I understand not everybody here has that. But God said, if you'll come into my family, I'll give you my heritage. You may not have got a box from your dad. You may not have got a box from your mom. But He says, I have a box for you. I have a box of blessing of my own to give you. And when you go through trouble, before you knew the trouble was even coming, I prepared a solution for you. I prepared a way of escape. All I'm asking you to do is give me your heart and start preparing a box for the future generations. Young people, you may not have kids of your own, but it doesn't mean you can't start getting a box ready for them. You may never have kids, but it doesn't mean you can't prepare a box for your family. It doesn't mean that what you do right now doesn't affect your friends. They may never get a box from their parents, and without your influence, they may never step door through the doors of this church. But you can take the box to school. You can take the box with you to your job. You can take the box with you when you spend time with your family in the holidays. God said, I just want you to prepare a blessing box of your own. These altars are open. I want to encourage you. Say, God, I want to do more for you. God, I know that what you want for me isn't my stuff, because that's already yours. But what you want from me is my heart. What you want from me is my soul.